Tosh Bal Peh only works if you know it's Bal Peh. There's a story like that about Rabbi Herschel Schechter. I think it was in the bungalow. In the bungalow colonies, people used to go for the summer, so he was up in the bungalow colonies. And they asked him to give a shiur. He was still rather young. And so they go into the whatever the bungalow they use as the shul. I don't know, you know, they were learning whatever it was. Let's say they were learning Rosh Hashanah. So they had, you know, like in the old days, they'd have like a lot of Gemaras in the shul, so everybody takes a Rosh Hashanah. He gets there, there are no more Rosh Hashanahs. Because he had to teach the Gemara, he didn't have the Gemara there. So he grabbed a different Gemara. And he opened it up, nobody realized that he didn't have the Gemara. And he taught the Gemara, whatever parak it was, Bal Peh. So he was like laning the Gemara Bal Peh. And even laning the Gemara Bal Peh, even a great mind like that makes a mistake here, a mistake there, you know, in remembering the precise formulation. So afterwards someone said about him, you see that? He can't even make a laning on the Gemara. I don't know that that story is true, but I assure you it's never been told about me.
You wouldn't miss the laning.
Huh?
You wouldn't have missed the line.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't miss. Anyway, so the Mishnah, we had learned the Mishnah on Lamed Elmed Bez. Barishona hayom mekablam eid chodesh kol yom. And then they made a takana that they would only accept eid chodesh up until mincha. What time mincha, we're not sure. Rashi says... where's the Rashi? Well, the Rashi elsewhere, I think, says until Mincha Ketana, right? Meaning later in the day. And others say Mincha Gedola, you know, from like shortly after noontime. And the reason was that if that day, which is, you know, Talui Basafek, maybe it's the last day of Elul, maybe it's the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So what happened? Nitkalkalu alaviyim b'shir. They said the wrong shir shal yom. Right? Oh, I think. But apparently, the shir shal yom, as a former Kohen who's now a Levi, you should appreciate.
There might be a shir shal yom, but
you should appreciate that the Levim, the shir that accompanies, and by the way, you know, the shir shal yom, the shir was it wasn't like we do, like we say the mizmor at the end of davening at shacharis. Every time they brought a korban, they sang a different shir, and as the Gemara, if we get to it tonight, we'll explain what the different shirim were. Meaning there was a shir for the afternoon, there was a shir for the morning, there was a shir for Musaf, there was a shir for...
You tell me shir shayom, there's one for Sunday, for Monday, for Tuesday, because so it doesn't have anything to do with the date or the morning.
Ah, and except the Yomim Tovim have a different shir shayom. Now, we have this practice that, in other words, in some shuls, there's the shir shayom, the 7 days of the week, and you say the shir. But everybody knows on Rosh Chodesh, there's a different shir shal yom for Rosh Chodesh. Right? So many shuls will say both. If Rosh Chodesh comes out on Sunday, they'll say the shir shal yom Rishon, and also for Rosh Chodesh, as if the shir shal yom for Rosh Chodesh isn't long enough. But other people have the practice, according to the Vilna Gaon, that you only ever have one shir shal yom. And there's a kind of pecking order of what trumps what. Right? Now, generally speaking, the Shir Shal Yom HaShabbat always takes precedence over the other Shirei Yom. So that except for Rosh Chodesh. I said almost.
Shabbat
Chol HaMoed, Shir Shal Yom takes precedence. Shir Shal Yom HaShabbat takes precedence. No. Shabbat Yom Kippur, I think Shabbat takes precedence. Except for Rosh Chodesh. And according to the Gra, you only ever say one shir.
And you don't say the David Hashem in the Hebrew.
And you...
According to the Gra, you don't say also the David Hashem.
Yeah, right. Same but that's not... But in all cases, that's not a shir shal yom.
No, but if it's the general practice, you only would say one shir per day. And they would sort that out.
So Makil, the Gemara asks here, Makilku, Kilkalu Alevi and Bashir. What's the, what did the Leviim mess up? Hacha Targimu Shalo Amru Shira, Kol Ikar. So here in Bavel we explain, what's the Kilkul? They didn't say the Shir Shal Yom.
Because
they were waiting to see. And by the time the Leviim, by the time the Edom came late in the day, and they were Makadesh, that it was Rosh Hashanah, it was too late.
But then, I mean, people didn't hold the Yom Tov in case there would be Kamash.
Yeah, in other words, you were careful about, if you were careful about not doing Malacha, that's one thing.
Okay.
But the question is, but what's the Shir Shal Yom is a reflection of the Kedusha Sayom. Sveka Diyoma apparently was not enough to mandate what the proper Shir was.
It was a much bigger deal than Shir Shal Yom.
Whether or not they would bring the Karbanos.
It's bigger than that. Did they write the shofar? Right. How was there time to have a shofar?
What? Rabbi Zera Amar Sha'amru Shira Shel Chol. So there's a machlokus. What was the kilkul? What was the mess up here? Either they didn't say any shear at all, they were waiting to see, or they said the weekday shear, and then mitbarir, it turned out that it was Rosh Hashanah.
That always
will,
I mean, they did it by mistake.
Those
they didn't do it by mistake.
When
did they announce Rosh Chodesh? They said the shear before.
No, very late in the day, like 10 minutes left before Shkia.
So, and
they'd already brought the korban shel bein arba'im.
They said the shear
when they brought the korban shel the daily sacrifice, the afternoon sacrifice, because they said, "Look, until they say it's Rosh Hashanah, then it's Stama Tuesday or Stama Wednesday." So we'll say the shir shel yom of Tuesday or Wednesday.
Worse than what they said in the morning. It's in the morning also.
Hold on.
Does the day retroactively turn the entire day into Rosh Hashanah?
Yeah, apparently.
So, like, I can imagine, like, a million. I'm sure the Gemara has like a million things. Like, if you made a neder, you would do Rosh Hashanah, or that thing was, I don't know, an egg was laid on, then could you have it? A million. So, everything happened earlier in the day, afterwards was considered as if it was Rosh Hashanah day. So, that's the issue?
Outside of the Mikdash, they kept 2 days anyway. Because it was like it was the equivalent of what, like, the idea of Yom Tov Sheni Shagolius, which applied even in further parts of Eretz Yisrael. Because how would we have known what they said in Beit HaMikdash? So, but it's in the Mikdash, they figured at least here we'll know.
Wait, you say Yom Tov Sheni Shagolius? No, it's everyone held Aleph or everyone held Bet?
Everybody held both.
Aleph. You didn't know it was Aleph was
but that's the one that you're concerned with.
In other words, the day after the 29th, maybe it's going to turn out to be the 30th, and maybe it's going to turn out to be
the first.
Right.
So the 30th, you want to already.
So on that day, 29 plus 1, you have to be worried that maybe today's going to be turn out to be Rosh Hashanah.
So the real day is bad.
It depends. If the Edom ended up coming that day on 29 plus 1.
Bet is always Rosh Hashanah. You know, unlike the other Chagim where we view the second day as the real, the Tosefet is actually the first day.
Right. Well, or unless myth barrier that the first day is the real Rosh Hashanah.
But it could turn out sometimes that Aleph wasn't Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, but if the Edom.
In other words, we know today, according to our calendar, we know, even if you're stuck in Golos, you know that the first day is Taka the real Yontif, Diraisa, and the second day is the Minog of Sveka Diyom. But in the days of Kiddush HaChodesh, you didn't know that. You didn't know which was the real and which was the... I wonder if people were... I guess people were careful to figure out afterwards, like, what was real.
Well, it'd be in Ishtar, no?
What?
Wouldn't it be in Ishtar?
Oh, in Ishtar?
You'd have to, like, say it today, or, you know... Or what day of Kippur was.
In other words...
You want to know what day of Kippur was, right? So
yeah, right.
Which star?
Well, I'm saying if the star was... You were a star saying that I'm gonna pay you back on Chavdalad Tishrei. You need to know what day Chavdalad Tishrei was because it was based on when Rosh Hashanah might actually be.
So Omar lo Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Zeira said... Rabbi Zeira had said... Again, it's a machlokas. One said that they didn't say any Shir Shal Yom, and Rabbi Zeira said that they said the weekday Shir Shal Yom. So Omar lo Rabbi Zeira la Ahava Barei. He told his son, Ahava, Pok Tani Lahu, go go and teach them this brisa. Hitkinu shelo yehu mekablim edus achodesh ela kadei sheyesh shahot b'yom lahakriv tzmidin umusafin v'nischehem v'lomar shira shelo b'shibush. Go tell them, here's the takana. Make sure that you shut down Bezdin. Don't allow witnesses to come too late. How late? You have to leave enough time that if it turns out that it's Rosh Hashanah, they have enough time to bring the Talmid, to sing the proper Shir Shel Yom along with the Talmud, and to bring the Korban Musaf of Rosh Hashanah.
What about Shofar?
They don't mention Shofar. Right? No, but maybe they kept, maybe they blew Shofar.
Anyway, just to make...
Anyway.
But then, could you be Yotze? I mean, if you didn't know, if it was a fake, if it was Rosh Hashanah, you could be Yotze for... I guess that's what we do now.
How do we do it now? So Iamart Bishlama Amur Shira Dechol Hainu Deika Shibush Ela Iamart Lo Amur Klal My Shibush. So he says, look, you have to be, Rabbi Zervis says, look, you have to stop, you have to put a deadline when they're accepting Eidos until, so that they'll say it without it messing it up. So he says, Taka, that's a pretty good proof that he holds what?
That
they said this Shir Shel Chol. Because if you didn't say anything at all, Shev Valtase, so you didn't mess it up. So the Gemara says, Ika, Kevan de Lo Amar Klal, Ein Lecha Shibush Gadol Mizu. So no, that's the biggest Shibush of all, if they didn't say any Shir at all.
It's really strange they're focusing on the Shira when they mention the Korbanot. I mean, yeah. isn't that a bigger issue?
Yeah, it's curious that this is what the Gemara focuses on. I think the Maharsha says that... the getting the shear right. Look, there's a mitzvah for the Levim to say the shear. But it's not ma'akev, the korban. It's only lechatchila. If they said the wrong shear, the korban is still accepted. So the whole idea of having, you know, a second day of Rosh Hashanah is in order to make sure you do a lechatchila properly. Right? And as b'di'evit, it would all be okay anyway. No, b'di'evit's not good enough.
B'di'evit won't be okay.
If they said the wrong shir, the korban still works.
Yeah, but what? Yeah, if they actually said that the Eidut had declared Rosh Chodesh 5 minutes before the Shkia, whatever it was, they wouldn't have time to bring the carbon.
Right. That's exactly the problem.
Right, so it's not, it has to do with the Shir.
But the Gemara seems to be fixated here on the idea of the Shir.
Right.
It makes the Shir the Ika. So in other words, what do we see? It seems that the problem is not that they didn't say any shir at all, but that they said the weekday shir. So motiv Rav Acha Barhuna, Tamid Shel Rosh Hashanah, Shacharit Karev Kihilchata. The Tamid Shel Shachar, they bring it's regular on Rosh Hashanah. But Musaf Mahu Omer. That's what's the Mizmor that they said on Musaf? So now the Gemara just goes through it. It lists all of the different Shirei Shel Yom. Harninu lelokim uzenu, hariyu leloke Yaakov. Okay, that makes sense that should be the Shir Shel Yom for Rosh Hashanah. But mincha mahu omer. So mincha and Rosh Hashanah, what do they say? Kol Hashem yachil midbar. Uvizman shechal Rosh Hashanah liot bechamishi b'shabbat. But when Rosh Hashanah is on Thursday, what's the Shir Shel Yom? It's the same. Shehashira shelo harnini lelokim uzenu lo haya omer b'shacharit. In other words, so you wouldn't say the regular Thursday Shir Shel Yom at Shacharit. Why? Because you're going to be saying it at Musaf in a minute anyway. Mipnei shechozer v'kofel et haperek, because you'd be repeating the same perek twice. Which, you know, I mean, is that a big problem? We say Ashrei three times a day. As a matter of fact, you say that Lam Natzeach Mizmor before Tekiyah Shofar seven times. I mean, at least that's what it says in the Machzor. I look around, I stand up there, beam, I look around, I see not everybody says it seven times.
How do you know how many times they say it? You see them counting their hands?
Well, some people count on their hands. Other people, like, you know, like looking around.
Let's say fast.
Corey says it. Shomer Kol.
People like me. But
the shear, whatever the shear that the Levim said or sang, they'd be careful that you wouldn't do one twice.
You know, on a regular day of Chol, okay, let's say it's a Thursday.
Yeah.
So they would say the same shear for the morning and the afternoon?
No. They were different shear? I once heard Kralbach say, I mean, I was sitting next to him, like you were sitting next to me. And he said that the Avodas Halevi'im wasn't just to sing the Shira. I mean, the lyrics of the songs are written in Tilim. But the music, part of their job was to compose the music to which the tunes were set. I don't remember who, he was quoting some Hasidic master who said that they never repeated a tune. Part of the avoda was to compose new tunes. What? Maybe, because the Majids are musicians. But I've never been able to find a source for this. I wouldn't want to imply that Kralbach made something up, but if those of the many listeners out there on the internet, Steve, if you're listening in and you know the source, please send it in. Write to us at Box 350, Boston, Mass. 02134. And do you get it? You didn't catch the reference?
I'm trying to think what that was.
It shows that there is a difference in our age. Close. Zoom,
right.
Come on and zoom. And that was part of the avoda was to compose the music, right, that they sang each nigun, which meant over the course of the hundreds of years of Bayit Rishon and Bayit Sheni, there were tens of thousands of nigunim. And when the Yidden went into Golis, you know what happened to all those nigunim? No, they went into Golis with us. And when they went into Golis, they got kidnapped. So you know all those Zmiros that we sing that sound like they came from a Polish pub? Right?
That one sounded more Irish to me.
Okay, so that went to Ireland, and another one went to...
So the Beach Boys were souped on me.
Right, so the Beach Boys, they stole one of those nigunim. And when you take that niggun and put it back to, you know, Koribon or to Lichadodi or to whatever it is, you're redeeming it. You're redeeming the niggun from the hands of those Cossacks that stole it and used it in their pundak.
My yeshiva, when the guy did on his mirror to Jingle Bells and people raised, you know, Gabba. It's actually like they took it really out of the
Could be.
By us inside, sometimes they do Lichadodi to Chuvia or Sumberi. Some of us like it. Some of us want to kill it because then that tune is stuck in your head till like 3 o'clock in the morning.
You know, I worked for many years. I worked for many years in Camp Hask, and Camp Hask was staffed by a lot of modern Orthodox Yidden, some of whom live here in the neighborhood. But the camp was run by the yeshivisha crowd from Brooklyn, not all of whom were ardent Zionists. So one year it was Parshas Chazon or something like that. Maybe it was Shabbos Nachamu. So the guy who sang Lichadodi did it to Yerushalayim Shel Zav. And one of the people said, "It's Yonish, a song. It's a Pasnish." At that time, the camp song for Camp Hask was sung to the tune of "When the Saints Come Marching In," but nobody thought that was inappropriate.
Tom, can you?
I'll end the aside with this. You know what today was? February 17th. No, February 17th, according to the Tarikh Alawazi.
The day of the music.
Was it St. Patrick's Day?
That's March.
No. We talked about it this morning. Today was, according to the Loazi date, was Agnon's 50th year.
Right, you got something else.
So you remember what Agnon said at the Pras Nobel?
little bit.
Do you remember when Agnon got the Presnell Bell?
I know that he got the Presnell Bell. I wasn't aware of his getting the Presnell Bell at the time.
It was a big deal.
I know.
I mean, I don't want to rub it in, but you're of an age where it's possible you
could have remembered. But I just wasn't. For sure, absolutely, 100%.
So when he got the Presnell Bell, he goes and gives this speech. And he says, "Mitoch katastrofe historit shechriv Titus Melech Rome et Yerushalayim v'gala Yisrael miartzo nolarati ani ba'achat me'arei ha'gola." Because of the historical catastrophe that the Jews went into exile, I was born in one of the cities of the diaspora. Val bochole tamid dome ayiti alai kemi shenolad b'Yerushalayim. But I always imagined myself as if I was in Jerusalem. And then he says he always fantasized about standing on the Dukhan in the Beit HaMikdash, im achai halavim, he was a Levi, Agnon was a Levi, standing on the Dukhan with the fellow leaving, singing Shirei David Melech Yisrael, the sweet songs of David HaMelech, Shirim Shekol Ozan Lo Shama.
Could he
carry a tune? No, not at all. And he says, since that was taken away from me, the ability to sing Shirei Leviim in Beit HaMikdash, I was compensated to be able to compose in prose what was formerly sung in praise. Right? In other words, he describes his ability to write Hebrew literature as a kind of divine compensation for the other artistic expression of Levite poetry that was taken away. Anyway, the Gemara says, Ela Mao Omer, on Thursday, when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Thursday, so you can't say the Shir Shel Yom, the regular Shir Shel Yom, because you're going to say that as part of the Rosh Hashanah Shir Shel Yom. So Ela Mao Omer, Hasirosa Misevel Shichmo. What is that perek about?
Well, according to the quote from in the silence here, it's the same perek. It's just a few psukim later. They're both perek pay aleph.
Right.
So what does it mean? You'd say, instead of saying Harenu, we would say this.
Harnini.
No, same. But instead of saying the earlier pasuk from
yeah, so that
is the later pasuk from pay aleph. They wouldn't say a pasuk. They say the whole perek, no?
They would say maybe a part of it, you know, like in Hallel, where you can. Okay. Right, maybe that was. But the Gemara will ask this question in a different context later. But has it also misevel shichmo, like remove the burden from his shoulder? So Chazal understood that posuk to be talking about Yosef in Beit Potif.
He talks about Shechem as Yosef's place.
Right. So in other words, since Yosef was also remembered on. Yosef is taken out of prison on Rosh Hashanah, so that's the connection. V'imbo edim achar tamid shel shachar omer harninu afal pi shechozer v'kofel et haperek. But as if they'd already said harninu in the morning, and then it becomes Rosh Hashanah, so then you repeat it. Iyamart bishlama kol hechidim istapakna amrinan shira dechol. So wait a second. As if the whole problem is that you're not going to get the shir right. So say the weekday shir in the morning. As the Gemara says, like in a case when we know it's Rosh Hashanah, when it's Vaday Rosh Hashanah, right? How could you know it's Vaday Rosh Hashanah? In other words, if no Edom came on the first possible day, then the next day is Vaday Rosh Hashanah. And if that next day, Vaday Rosh Hashanah, or in a case where they open up Beit HaMikdash, crack of dawn, and before they do any avoda whatsoever, there's a line of Edom waiting outside the door. And the first thing they do, first order of business, is they accept the Kiddush HaChodesh, then they can operate that day as Rosh Hashanah Vaday.
Right.
So on that day, on that Thursday, if they said the Shir Shel Yom Chamishi in the morning, and then Mitbarer, and as if they knew it was Rosh Hashanah, they wouldn't have said it in the morning. They would have deferred it to say it at the Musaf. So that Thursday, they didn't yet know it was Rosh Hashanah. So they said it in the morning, and then before Musaf, they were Mekadesh the Chodesh. So then they repeated it. So you see this whole idea of like not repeating the same shiur twice. There is a scenario by which that's done. So what do you see from that? That what was the kilkul?
It's
the Gemara is trying to figure out when we say nitkalkalu alavim bashir. So is it that they said the weekday one? No, they said the weekday one.
When it was really Rosh Hashanah?
When it was really Rosh Hashanah.
They didn't say it at all.
Or they didn't say it at all. So from this case, you see, Taka, what do? They say the weekday one. Right? Because how do you know that? Because the only way that they could be repeating that same Mizmor twice is if they wake up in the morning. And they don't yet know it's Rosh Hashanah. So they say the weekday one. Ela ma? A broken clock is right twice a broken clock is right once a week in this case. Because on Thursday, Rosh Hashanah, the Shir Shel Yom happens to be the Shir Shel Rosh Hashanah. So, okay, they said it once as
Thursday.
As Thursday. And then they say it again as Rosh Hashanah.
Had they known at the outset in the morning that it was Rosh Hashanah, definitely.
They didn't.
Had they known that?
Had they known that, they wouldn't have said it as part of they. I don't know, but they wouldn't have said they would have said either something else. There was like a substitute, but they wouldn't have said that mizmor because they generally prefer to repeat. They generally prefer to avoid repeating, right? But in this case, what do you see from this case?
That
the kilkul was they did the weekday one.
There was a situation where they wouldn't say anything.
Because if it was a situation they wouldn't do anything, then there wouldn't be a problem that they had repeated it. It wouldn't even be a question. So the Gemara says, no, but that case, the Thursday case is different. Had it been any other day, they wouldn't have said anything. The top of Lamed Aleph. Shani Hatam, Deshira de Yomehi. Tanya Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Meshum Rebbe Akiva. Because that was the Shir Shel Yom anyway. Right, so there's no problem. In other words, if it's on a Tuesday, so they say, what are we going to do? If we say the Tuesday shear, it's the wrong shear. If it turns out that today is Rosh Hashanah. But on Thursday, what do they say? They were like briskers. They say, manafshach.
Thursday is the best of both worlds.
They say, they've got nothing to lose. So we said, we'll say the Thursday shear. If it's today is Thursday, then it's we said shear shel yom hei. If today is Rosh Hashanah, then we said the shear shel Rosh Hashanah. But you know what? It's the same mizmor.
That's why they repeat it.
By the way, you know this idea that as you say a mizmor tehillim, as the Gemara is about to try to explain, like why each mizmor is connected to that day, like what's the theme of each mizmor. So a mizmor can have a dozen psukim, it can have 20 psukim, it can have 119 psukim. But in other words, the idea that there's one, sometimes it's just one pasuk. Like Ashrei. Why is that? Like Ashrei is like this important thing. Like we say Ashrei, you know, multiple times. So when you're saying Ashrei, you know, you run into shul, you're late for mincha. So you know, the best thing to do is to start saying the Amida together with everyone else. That's called Tefillah Betzibur. Tefillah Betzibur is that you ideally everybody takes their three steps back and starts Hashem Sifasai Tiftochu Fi Yugidil Asecha at the same moment. If you come late to shul, as long as the majority of people are still in the silent Shmon Esrei, so then you can start your silent Shmon Esrei and it's considered as if you have Tefillah Betzibur, even though it might mean messing up Kedusha. Yeah. Because they're going to start Chazaros HaShatz, you're only going to be halfway through. So what do? You pause, ideally between brachot. You pause, and then you listen. Right. You shumei ka'one, the kadosh kadosh. But if you're running in late to shul, and they haven't started the Amida yet, but they're like, you know, the Chazan is saying, you know, Tilas Hashem Yidaber Pi V'Rechol Bosar. What should you do? What's the point of saying Ashrei? Before mincha,
so prepare yourself for saying.
Yeah, so we just had in the Daf Yomi. Who's still learning the Daf Yomi? Nobody. Only the women?
My daughter, I was going to say.
So,
Well, Tzvi isn't here.
Tzvi doesn't learn Daf Yomi. He learns a Daf Yomi, but not the Daf Yomi. He's like off the cycle. Which is not to take away from his accomplishment, since after all, he has finished chess more than once. Tzvi, you hear that? So we had in the Daf Yomi 2 weeks ago, last week. Ein omdim litpalel mitoch kovid rosh. The chassidim arishonayu shon sha'achas. They would spend an hour, doesn't necessarily mean 60 minutes. But you can't just jump into davening, right? It's not really likely that you're going to muster the appropriate kavana if you just kind of like jump in. You know, like there are people, the places that have like minyanim at work. Right, and those minyanim are usually very quick to begin with, and sometimes it's a hechik kedusha, and it's a whatever. So, like you're at work, you're in the middle of something, and you run out of the meeting, and you run to mincha, and it's like you know you're a little bit torud. It's not ideal. Like, ideally,
it's not ideal in terms of tefillah. It's ideal in terms of your work. No, there's a Mishnah that talks about the branches of the trees.
We are not the poalim in the, in other words, we're allowed to take all types of break. We take coffee breaks and we take bathroom breaks and we go around the block. None of us work in the salt mine. None of us are chained to a desk, right? If you want to get up and, you know, if people are allowed to get up and leave the building to go smoke three times a day, so you're allowed to get to the minyan in the miklat, you know, with 60 seconds, you know, to sit there, benachas ruach, and gather your thoughts. So Ashrei is meant to be the
gathering of...
The cooling saucer. You know, the saucer that cools the tea to whatever. And why? Because what's in Ashrei? Poteach et yodecho masbia lechol chayratzon. Right? That is, you know, a very important pasuk. But that's not the pasuk for Mincha. That's the pasuk for Psukei Dezimra. You know, Psukei Dezimra is built up, you know, to the Mizmorim of Psukei Dezimra reflect, you know, God and the world and the natural order and things. And Ashrei, of course, you know, if you have to cut Psukei Dezimra, if you don't have enough time for the Psukei Dezimra, you know, the main things are, of course, Baruch She'amar and Nishtabach, these two bookend brachot, and Ashrei in the middle. But the Psukei Dezimra, the Ikar, is Poteach et Yodecho Masbia Lechol Chayratzon. Right? That Hashem sustains the world, He gives everybody what they need. You know, this is the theme of Psukei Dezimra, God's kind of management, His Hashkacha of the world. And that's the kind of theme that Chazal thought you should prepare yourself with before you go into Baruch Hu Shema and Amidah. But when you say Ashrei before Mincha, it's a different Ashrei altogether. The Ashrei before Mincha is for the Psukim at the end. Ratzon Yerev Yaseh V'Yetzru Avasam Mishma V'Yashayim Shomer Hashem Et Kol Avav V'Yet Kol Hashem Yashmid. What is that? What's the theme of that? Geula. And even though there's no idea of smichad geula letfilah at mincha, which you have at shacharit in a very profound way, and you have in a more relaxed way at arvit, right? The idea that the theme of geula, but you want it also, that's the theme that you want to enter tfilah with, that God is the Redeemer. And so if you don't even have enough time to say all of Ashrei before the Amidah, so say those last three psukim. Because that's the ikar for mincha.
Where is this mentioned? I've never heard of it.
That's in the Aruch HaShulchan.
It's his original idea?
I think so. I don't know.
And then you go back later.
So then the question is, what about the Ashrei you say at the end of davening in the morning?
Yeah.
So it's possible that it's there as a kind of placeholder for all the times you daven Musaf. And it's the Gemara has this idea of saying Ashrei three times a day is this great skula. But why say it there at the end of davening for Uvel Atzion? That's because that's also on days when there's Musaf, so then that serves a similar function to setting the theme before you go into Musaf, even though it's a little bit more disconnected. Okay. Back to the Gemara. So now the Gemara asks the top of Lamed Aleph. Tanya Rebbe Yehuda Omer Meshum Rebbe Akiva Barishon Ma Hayu Omrim Lashem Haaretz Umloa. Why is that the Mizmor for Yom Rishon? Al Shem Shekana VeHikna VeShalit Bolamo. Lashem Haaretz Umloa. God, the whole world belongs to God. Well, what happened on the first day of creation? He made the world. B'Sheni Ma Hayu Omrim Gadol Hashem Umlo Meod. In other words, it doesn't tell you on this day we say Perek Memches. It's on this day we say, and it doesn't even tell you, like sometimes the Mizmorim are known by the opening line. It cherry picks the pasuk in each Mizmor, which seems to be the bullseye of the theme that reflects that day. Right. So B'Sheni, on Monday, Mayu Omrim, Gadol Hashem Ulmeod. Al Shem Shechilek Ma'asav. Mazeh Chilek Ma'asav. Hivdil Rakia Bein Elyonim Letachtonim. Rashi says. Right? That's the second day. Umalachale. Bishlishi Hayu Omrim Elokim Nitzav Ba'adat Kel. Right? God stood amongst the community of God and the community of the faithful. Al Shem Shigila Aretz Bechokhmato Vehechin Tevel La'adato. Right? Because what happens on the third day? Dry land appears. So that idea of standing up the righteous upon the land, that is the third day. Barivi'i Hayu Omrim Kel Nikamot Hashem. God is a vengeful God. Al Shem Shebarach Chamal Vana. Sun and the moon are created on the fourth day. So why do we talk about God's vengeance in the context of the sun and the moon? Astronomer?
Or astrologer in this case.
Well, he's not an astrologer. We wouldn't confuse that. But you'd be proud of me. Where was I? I never participate in these online conversations. I never comment on Facebook or something, but I'm part of like this rabbinic Facebook thing. Not Facebook, it's a WhatsApp group. And somebody asked a question and they confused. They said astrology, but they meant astronomy. And I couldn't help myself. I had to pipe in. I said, presumably you mean astronomy.
But was it always a distinct... I know we talk about alchemy as being kind of like, you know, trying to make gold in chemistry as a real serious science, but they were exactly the same thing. I wonder if astrology and astronomy are also similar.
I think they certainly had the same roots.
No, right.
But what was the discipline called when they were one? When one person did both?
It was called physics back then.
When did the terms astronomy and astrology get assigned?
I don't know, but certainly in the time of the Rambam, right? There's a clear difference between astronomy and astrology.
No, but those terms in.
That's a question.
That's a linguistic question. So in other words, Kel Nekamot Hashem is for Wednesday, the day that he creates the sun and the moon, Va'atid li para me'ovdehen, because he will take vengeance on those that falsely worship the sun, the moon, and the stars in between.
As I thought originally, it was from Latin astrologia, which meant astronomy, the signs of the heavenly bodies. From Greek, astrologia, astronomy, it was only in the 14th century that it started becoming
The 14th century.
Yeah, like a distinct between fortune telling and science.
The study of the origins of the universe should really be cosmology, but the hairdressers already took it, so I had to,
so there was originally
cosmetology.
There was a distinction between natural astrology, which was the. And
the movement of the planets,
and the judicial astrology, which is the art of the figuring out what was going to happen.
Bechamishi ayomrim harni leelokim uzenu, as we saw, al shem shebara ofot vidagim. That's what it says. What is that mizmor? Harni leelokim uzenu. Let us sing out in strength to God. So why is that for the fifth day? Because what happened on the fifth day? God made the birds and the fish.
Birds and fish sing.
L'shabeach l'shmo.
The birds, maybe, but the fish?
So in other words, perhaps it's not that the birds and the fish sing, but that we, Rashi says, Kesha Adam ro'e ofot mishunim zemize noten shevach lemisha baram. The bird watchers sing God's praise. Well, you know, like that's like a great philosophical debate. Would you rather be a bird or a fish? What would you say?
Wants to be a fish.
Oh, fish.
What?
I mean a bird.
So besides Mr. Limpet.
What? You would rather be a fish?
You'd rather be a fish?
No, I said no. Who
wants to be a fish?
Except for Mr. Limpet, and I figured you'd seen that movie.
I know I haven't read this, Mr. Limpet.
It's an old movie from the '60s with Don Knotts.
Thank you.
Right? Oh yeah, yes, I know. Yes, I know. I know that movie. I know that movie.
So from World War II, I just remember on Rewatch.
I talk
about
WPIX.
Sorry.
B'shishi hayomrim, Hashem malach geud lavish. Right, God reigns. He's enrobed in majesty. Al shem shegamar malachto umalach aleihem. Right, having created man, the pinnacle of creation, on the sixth day, God is now crowned as king, and he rules amongst them. So that's why that's the pasuk. Bashvi hayomrim mizmor shir liyom haShabbos liyom shekulo Shabbos. So Amar Rabbi Nechemya, maro chachamim lechalek bein haprakim halalu. What does that mean? Lechalek bein haprakim halalu. Rashi says, Bechol sheshit yamim ne'emarin haprakim halalu al shem she'avar v'shel Shabbat al shem la'haba. As the 6 days, the Mizmor is retroactive. And as we're talking about what happened on Yom Rishon, we talk about what happened on the first Yom Rishon. Yom Sheni on the first Yom Sheni. But on Shabbat, we talk about what? Da'atid lavo. The Yom Shekulo Shabbat, about the Messianic era. So why was that? Why not find a Mizmor that talks about the first Shabbat in creation?
Yeah, found a Mizmor that says Mizmor Shelo Shabbat. It would be kind of strange not to choose that one.
Yeah, but it's wouldn't it be strange not to ask the question?
It would be easier to ask the question on the Drasha. I've heard many shirim over the years about why Mizmor Shalom Shabbat is appropriate for Shabbat Breshit, and even it doesn't seem to say, it actually does refer to things in it, and so on.
Ella Barishon, so why did they make this difference, that the Shir Shel Shabbat is forward-looking and the others are backward-looking? Ella Barishon Shekanakan Vehikne Vesholit Bolamo. It summarizes the whole thing. B'shlishi shegila eretz b'chokhmato v'hechin tevel ladato. B'rvi'i shebarach hamalavana v'atid lipara me'avdeyem. B'chamishi shebar ofot v'dagim l'shabeach l'shmo. B'shishi shegamar malachto malach aleyem. B'shvi'i al shem sheshavat v'kemif legei v'shabat. So there's another version of the Brisa that says what? Why is it? It's not about the idea that Mizmor Shel Yom Shabbat is about Yemot HaMashiach. No. Why do we say Mizmor Shel Yom Shabbat? Because what happened on the first Shabbat? Hu Shavat. Right? He stopped working. So why do you say it has to be? In other words, it reinterprets the drasha on that Mizmor. It's not about the future Shabbat, the Yom Shekulo Shabbat, it's about the historical Shabbat, the first seventh day in which God rested. The Kemiflegei, and this whole machlokis, Bidarav Katina. Domer of Katina, Shita Alfe Shane Have Alma, Vachad Charuf. The world will exist for 6,000 years, and in the last 1,000 years, it will be destroyed. In other words, each of the days of creation represents a millennium. No, a millennium is 1,000 years.
Yeah,
right. So each of the 6 days of creation is parallel to a millennium.
Because they say like Yom, what's in Tehillim also, it says something like a day of years like 1,000 years or something. So.
Right. So, and the 7,000 will be the 1,000 of destruction.
Which we're only about...
We're closing in.
We're very much closing in if you account for those missing 165 years. Then we're only about 50 years away.
Yeah, wow.
We might be around to that.
You're assuming that the original calculation, even minus the missing years, the original calculation is...
Well, the thing is, one of the things that happens if you add these 165 years, which makes the whole thing kind of fit nicely, is that they break it up in Avodah Zarah into like 2,000 years of Tohu and 2,000 years of Torah and 2,000 years of Mashiach. So like the last 2,000 years, if you add those 165 years, works out to exactly when Bayit Sheni was destroyed.
Right. So according to that, we're in the year 5945. We're 55 years away.
We're 55 years. Well, there's a debate. 165 years, 68 years, but we're around this
last week.
What?
Did I miss this last week?
No. Well, this did come up once before, didn't it?
Maybe they about us there. I don't know. But
no, I'm familiar.
So if you kind of that would certainly make sense. What would be the this massive event that happened that would cause the next era to start? Would be the Chorban HaBayit, and then so we're almost 2,000 years from Chorban HaBayit.
So, but anyway, the 1,000 years of destruction
is coming up
in 45 years from now. The
UN says we got about that much time.
Then there you go.
Yes. So, in other words, it could be we're headed to 1,000 years.
I wouldn't worry about it for either reason, but.
So,
the Midrash or the UN?
Are you a climate denier?
No, we're definitely having climate. I just don't think
it's... We're having climate.
Another day.
It's Am Rabbi? No, it's the Shenemar. It's Gav Hashem Levado.
It'll be Am Rabbi. Amar Abaye, Trey Charuv, Shenemar. So he has a difference. He says there's 2,000 years of destruction. Shenemar. Right, so there's 2,000, 2,000, and 2,000. Shneamar, Yechayenu miyomayim. It's a pasuk in Hosea. Bemosfei deshabta. Ma hayu omrim, Omar Rav Anan Barava, Omar Rav. Oh, so this now we go back to this other thing. This is about Ha'azinu. Oh, we'll stop here. We'll pick this up. Who lanes Ha'azinu?
Steve,
we need you next week. Because this is connected to how you divide up the aliyahs in Parshas Ha'azinu, but also the Ha'azinu turned out to be the Shir Shel Mincha on the rest of the time.